Well, we are at our next to the last sermon in this series called Here I Am. And this is actually the passage that prompted the series when I thought about that phrase. This one of Isaiah's vision to the Lord is the first one that came to mind, because at the end of this, he of course says, "Here I am, send me." So I want to look at this classic passage with you. And there is a lot that could be focused on here. Certainly the holiness of God. Certainly the response of Isaiah to God. Perhaps most intriguingly, which we'll not get into today, the actual message, mission that God gave to Isaiah, because you hear it and think, what in the world? God says, go talk to my people, and I'm going to keep them from hearing. But if you keep reading, you get on to what God is doing, which is a long scale story. It actually has to do with what we talked about in confirmation this class, in confirmation class this morning, where Jesus was talking about the vine and the branches and pruning away what is dead or what is choking the life out of our connection with God. And this, if we had kept reading today, you get some of that same imagery. God is talking about pruning, but the stump, the root of Jesse will remain, and from that salvation is going to come, and that's going to be Jesus. But that's another sermon for another day. I just can't resist when something's dangling out there like that. But our focus today is going to be on one question, and that is, how can you grow in our relationship with God? How can we grow in our faith towards God? And I believe this vision that Isaiah had and this experience that he had maps out for us one wonderful template for how to do that. And if that's, as we've been going through the series, if you found yourself thinking, well, that all sounds great for some sort of advanced, Christian, but I don't know how to listen or be available or that God would even want to use me. Remember what we've seen all along, that God uses ordinary people. And if you want to grow, if you want to be more connected to God, tune in for sure today. So we're going to jump right in the first four verses. And I'm going to have at the top the kind of the overarching question, how do I grow closer to God? And we're going to see kind of four stages through this vision, a cycle that happens. And it's one that repeats in our life, can repeat again and again to help us grow closer to God. So the first part of that is probably what captures your attention most when you first hear this passage. It is this description of the presence of God, right? And Hollywood has tried, but can't even come close to what is being described here. I mean, one image that came to my mind was that scene in The Wizard of Oz when they finally arrive at the Great Castle of Oz, and there's this big face and smoke and lights and all this. But even that, which was fake, even if it had been real, it pales in comparison to this, right? The scene of the glory of God in this robe filling the temple, and there's these beings like angels, the seraphim, that are all around, and they're singing the song, "Holy, Holy, Holy." I mean, it's just overwhelming. And that's not something that most of us, maybe any of us, have experienced to that degree. And yet, God draws near all the time. That's the whole story of Jesus coming among us, is that we can draw near to, that we can experience and encounter the presence of God. So the first thing I want to name for you in this vision today is this encounter of God. I believe it happens. I believe God is here every Sunday when we gather, and I try to announce that at the beginning of each service, right? This is not just showing up for a neighborhood association meeting, right? And it's not just coming and sitting with some people or people you don't know and singing some familiar hymns. We believe, the elders of this church, I believe that God meets us here. And to be clear, God doesn't just hang out here. God meets us out there when we go. So we talk about that a lot too, that when we go out the doors, God goes with us and leads us. And that's the whole point of the question of listening to God and being available and ready, is that God goes with us. But I want to make a point this morning to remind you that God meets us here and God is here. Most likely, you're not going to see the smoke and the robe and the seraphim. If we do, I'm not going to discount it, if we do, I will be the first one on my face, and I hope you join me in doing that. But Isaiah had this vision and really an experience of being in the presence of God. If you want to talk about what holiness is, I know it's a church word we use a lot. It is the sense of being set apart for a special use. And when we talk about it in relation to God, God is self-set apart. God is so holy other than us that that's the word we use to describe him, holy. We use it in a more down here among us sense when we talk about things like communion, the Lord's table being holy, it's set apart. Or these offering plates, or that baptismal font. We have this furniture and the rites we do with them, baptism and the Lord's Supper. We always say it's ordinary bread, it's ordinary juice, it's water from the tap. But God, through His Spirit, sets them apart for a holy use. That's kind of redundant. God sets them apart. That's what holy means. Right? So God is the author of holiness. Capital H, I should have capitalized it. God is holy. And the Bible does the old Hebrew thing. Had they had word processors, it would have been bold, double underline, italics. They didn't have that, so they just repeated it. God is holy, holy, holy. You say it three times in ancient Judaism, and that was kind of maximum, all caps, big deal. So God is holy, right? And that is who Isaiah encountered, and that's the God that we worship. So the beginning of growing in closer to God is encountering God. And we believe that's possible, and we believe that happens. So that's verses 1 through 4. Verse 5, I love that Zach asked the question, what would you do? And I think in one sense, we don't know what we would do until we're face-to-face or experiencing the presence of God. But what Isaiah did, he was, as one of the boys, Liam, I think, his first impulse in the presence of God was to confess, was to realize, I am imperfect, I am sinful. He said, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm ruined. If God's holiness is like the bright fire of the sun, I am just burnt up by it. Because I am an imperfect man, right? I've sinned. And so he cries out before God, woe is me, I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips. I've said things that are not true, that are not kind. And I live among a people of unclean lips. And he says, my eyes have seen God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So a second part of growing close to God, first is encountering God in some way, experiencing God. The second is recognizing who we are in relation to that. And the way we talk about it in Scripture in the church is confession of sin or of sinfulness. And related to that, I added, and repentance. But it is before God saying, I've done things I'm ashamed of. I've done things that are wrong. I've veered from the straight and the true and the right and the pure and the good. And sometimes, if we have a glimmer of faith and hope, we'll add to that, God, have mercy on me. We'll incorporate that into our service in just a little bit. But Isaiah confessed his uncleanness, his impurity before God. And though he didn't do it here, often what comes with that is repentance. God, I want to change, right? I don't want to continue in this path. I want to go in this path. Have mercy. Help me. Rescue me. Save me. All that kind of crying out to God. And then a third part of this cycle, starting in verse 6, is God's response to that. And it's not expected. I mean, maybe it is to us because we tell this story all the time. But in the vision, one of the special angels, the seraphim, came down to Isaiah with a burning coal representing the pure, holy righteousness of God and touched it to Isaiah's lips. That was the location of the sin that he had confessed. I'm a man of unclean lips. And in that touching him, God was demonstrating, I forgive you. I purify you. I make you right. Right? So that's the third piece of this cycle. We encounter God. We are in the presence of a holy God, driven to confess our limitation, our sin, our mortality. And that could be the end of the story, but it's a good news story. And God says, and yet I want you. I forgive you. I make you clean. Right? So that touching him with the lips, on the lips. And I've asked this question a few weeks ago, but I'll ask it again this morning. You don't have to answer out loud. This is a rhetorical question. Have you ever experienced true forgiveness? Right? Not just, hey, I'm sorry I scratched your car. That's okay. No big deal. That's not forgiveness, especially if that's okay, that's no big deal. Forgiveness is, yes, you have wronged me, you've hurt me, and yet I forgive you. It's not that it's okay, it's that I am wiping the slate clean. I'm declaring things right between us. That's forgiveness that leads to reconciliation. Have you ever experienced that? If you have, even on a small scale, you know the transformative power of that, right? It's life-changing. Because in that moment, you not only feel off the hook, right, but you also feel loved, right? For someone to forgive me when I've legitimately wronged them, that takes an act of love and mercy all kind of wrapped together. And God, I think, allows us to experience that among ourselves in small ways to give us a glimpse of what it means that he has forgiven us. That's what Isaiah is describing in his vision. God has purified him, at least in that one area that he confessed and made him clean. And then verses 8 to the end. This is something Zach and I were talking about this week. We're reading a book together by Tim Keller called it's not The Reason for God, that's the Sunday school class, The Gospel-Centered Church, is that right? And one of the questions in that book is what creates change, or what creates good fruit in our life? And Keller writes that so often, even folks who have a faith in Christ and want to grow in him, it's so easy to turn it around and think, my good deeds will win God's approval. And we get the whole cart before the horse, and we're driven by this kind of performance anxiety to please God and do the right thing. What's going on here is the correct order of that, which is having experienced God and named, confessed my humanness, my sinfulness before him, and experienced God's mercy and God's forgiveness. The only possible response, if you've lived through that, is gratitude. It's like, literally, oh my God, you have loved me, you have forgiven me. And that's the fuel, that's the lifeblood of righteousness, of good works, is this gratitude that God not only has spared me, but God has loved me and wants me and calls me. And that's all the presupposition behind the question, the series of Here I Am, that God wants to talk to us in the first place. But that's the story of Scripture, right? That God comes to not just imperfect people, but wrecks like Moses and Abraham and Peter and Thomas. And I would name some women, but they all kind of had their act a little bit better together than the men. but outsiders, right, like Rahab or Ruth, who God brought in, God uses ordinary people to accomplish what he's doing. And so this gratitude is what then drives, Lord, here I am, use me. And that's what happened with Isaiah, right? Having experienced this forgiveness, he heard God say, whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, well, if you have me, right, send me, use me. This gratitude stirred up in him, this willingness, this desire to serve God. So last week we talked about what are the kinds of things that God asks us to do. And in almost every case of these people we've looked at in Scripture that God is called to do something, it was not an easy or comfortable mission, right? So Samuel had to deliver a message to his mentor, to Eli, that Eli and his sons were displeasing the Lord. That's what God wanted him to say. Or last week, Ananias, God wanted him to go to Saul, the man who had been killing Christians, persecuting Christians, and go lay hands on him and pray for him. Here, the task for Isaiah is go preach to my people, knowing they're going to reject what you say. But that's part of a longer process that Isaiah, you may not get to live to see, but it's something I'm doing. So I'm back to that image from last week of God may indeed ask us to do something challenging or hard, but it is perhaps one brick, one holy brick in a house that God is building, or even larger, the kingdom that God is ushering in. And we don't have to do the whole thing. We don't even have to build the whole house. But God may be saying to you, God may be saying to me, go speak to this person. Show kindness here. Forgive this person. Would you carry the story of your faith to work or to school? Would you bring it to bear in a relationship that you're in? Would you talk to me a little bit more through prayer? God can ask any number of things, right? Could you speak up for someone who is shut out? Could you act for justice? Could you love someone who feels all alone? And saying, yes, here I am. Lord, use me, send me. Being listening, available, ready to go, we grow closer to God. And we take part in what God is doing. The last thing I wanted to do, if you'll take out your bulletin. And I've done this as an exercise before with you, but this is a good time to do it again. There are a number of opportunities God gives us to grow close. And I believe God can come to you in a vision or a dream like he did Isaiah. I believe God can capture your imagination, your faith, looking at the glory of his creation, the mountains or a sunset or the beach. But the ordinary and regular opportunity God gives us to grow close is in worship and begins with worship. And I wanted to demonstrate that for you in the bulletin, just briefly. If you'll look really at the four boxes, the headers in the service, we gather around the word, and we do that through music, through prayer, through greeting each other. All of that's gathering people together in the presence of God. It's to prepare us to encounter God, right? And then when we hear the word, that is God's word to us. God is speaking, and our question is, are we listening? But all of those first two pieces are all to make ourselves available for the opportunity to experience God. So that's the first thing that Isaiah did, was experience God in his holiness. So in some way, we sing about the holiness of God, or the love of God, or the grace of God, something about who God is and what he's done to prepare us to meet God in this hour. And then in the third section, responding to the word, every week we have an opportunity to confess our sin together, right? To say, God, having heard your word, believing you're here, this is who we are, and we need you. We need your mercy. We need your forgiveness. God, help us, right? And then right after that, we hear the biblical declaration that God, through Jesus, has forgiven sin, has purified you, has touched the hot coal to your lips or to whatever sin you've confessed. God has declared you whole and right through Christ, right? So every week, that's our response. In our offering, we prepare ourselves to say to God, here I am, send me. And we end each week with ascending, bearing the hope of Christ, the word of God, out into the world. And here's the thing. This isn't, well, I'm sure for Isaiah, this was a once in a lifetime thing, this vision. God gives us regular opportunities to grow. This is not a once and done cycle of, well, you experience God, you confess sin, you're forgiven, and you go. One mission, the end. This is something like eating or sleeping or exercising. God offers us again and again. Come, gather, meet me here, hear my word, confess, be forgiven, and be sent over and over again. That's one of the reasons that regular worship is so important, because it is the habit that cultivates growth towards God and in Christ, in service to him. So I invite you into that. Obviously, I am preaching to the whole choir because you're all here today. But just know that this is truly a holy gathering. It is set apart by God for at least one purpose of providing the context for us to grow in faith and closer to God. And you'll hear a little bit about more of that as we finish the service. We often pray our confession this morning. It's going to be sung. Eric will say a little bit more about that. But we want you to know each part of the service is carefully chosen to lead us again and again through this biblical process. That sounds so clinical. This biblical adventure, how about that, of God inviting us to know Him better. Would you pray with me? God, thank you. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for coming after us and saying you still want us, making us pure and right and holy and calling us into this adventure of joining you in your ushering in your kingdom. Lord, thank you for this vision of Isaiah that kind of maps out for us how it is that we can grow closer to you. Thank you for Jesus coming among us to make it clear to us that you want to be in relationship with us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that gives us the spiritual eyes and the faith and the conviction to look up beyond ourselves and to desire something that only you can fill. Lord, thank you for being our holy God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.